Four Drop Bear. Thanks so much for listening in. That was The Mess You Leave Behind off of our new full length called Magic City. Please check us out. Thanks.
All right, that was just Drop Bear playing live in Studio D. And you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Coming up next, more like local music, and then they'll be joining me in here for an interview. Coming up next, I can't say the full artist's name, but it is Astral followed by a word that rhymes with witch. Mm-hmm. Well, here we are. Those last two songs were just Waiting by Feep. And before that, Astral, Word That Rhymes With Witch, with Haunting You. And those now I'm here homies. With Drop Bear.
Yeah, we played with both of them.
Yeah, they seem really cool. I like their sound. And I like your sound. So you guys described yourselves on your Instagram as a new gaze alts rock.
Yeah.
Which I think it fits pretty well. It's, you know, it's a nice, I like new gaze as a term. Did you guys come up with that, or did you?
No, it's out there.
It's out there.
It's definitely out there. It took a while for it to grow on me, because, you know, I grew up in the 80s, but I came of age in the 90s. So like hearing the word new before any type of, you know, genre was always sort of like mall kid. You know, so yeah, but it's grown on me. I'm a lot bit older. Don't really pay attention too much of the name game. So yeah, I think it fits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also feel like genre wise, like some nerdy purist might be like, oh my God, they're not real shoegaze. Like, mm-hmm. We have a little bit of that alternative rock 90s sound in us as well. And I feel like even some of our older stuff has like a little pop punk emo almost.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Almost, yeah.
It's like an MTV Buzz clip.
There you go. Yeah, and let's all go around and do names and what instruments you play.
Sure. I'm Matt, and I play guitar.
I am TJ, I hit drums.
I'm Christian, I'm bass.
I'm Sean, I'm also guitar.
I'm Rachel, I'm folks and lyricist.
Fantastic. And how long have you all been playing together?
Oh, man. So Sean and I have been playing for a while in various bands, from hardcore bands to a sort of first iteration of a band that sounds like this, sort of. Sounds like Drop Bear. A little bit of a sort of earlier sound. You know, I feel like we're a little bit more refined now, but...
We used to get play on FNX back in the day.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
So. Yeah. Famous.
So Sean and I have been playing for a while. I've been playing with Rachel, Christian, TJ for a little over 5 years.
Yeah, five sounds right.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. We had a former member who's no longer with us anymore, who him and I started this band. But yeah, we kept it going and mm-hmm. carried the torch. So, yeah.
Excellent. And do you have any gigs coming up?
Yeah, we're playing tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, where are you playing?
Deep Cuts at nice. Over in, is that Medford?
Yep.
Right down the street.
Yeah. Very nice. And your name's Drop Bear. Where can people find you on social media?
Drop Bear Band is our Instagram handle, and Drop Bear Boston is our band camp. So commit that to memory.
Got it. Yeah. Well, they both start with B's. So if you get Drop Bear B, you'll probably get there. Yeah. It'll auto-complete.
Yeah.
Especially if you're following the right people already.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you're in the know, it knows.
I hope the algorithm cares about us that much. I lose sleep over it, and I'm always talking to these guys. I'm like, we need to, you know, like, outsmart the algorithm, make reels, blah, blah, blah. I'm that member.
The kids need to slam those buttons.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's smash. Right. Damn kids. sorry, I'm collecting myself, and... I wanted to ask, where'd the name Drop Bear come from? The mythical beast.
You nailed it. You know, we had a couple of names floating around. Drop Bear is a really cool pun, I feel like. Interesting story about that. We just played a show at the Middle East, and shout out to Craig Riggs. I haven't seen him in a while. He's in he plays in a bunch of he owns Mad Oak Studio as well. So, you know, go record there. But he was at our show, and I haven't seen him in a while, and he comes up to me after the show, and he's like, "Who's Australian in your band?" And I'm like, I can't believe you got the reference. No one gets the reference. It's just the koala.
Yeah.
You know?
Little naughty koala. We got some merch. we bring it to shows with us, so check it out. It's a really cool design by Sam Peo out of Dover, New Hampshire. So
it's good to bring merch to shows.
I hear it helps.
That and the algorithm. They're the two necessary evils.
Totally.
But cool merch is cool. So do you have a koala on your merch then?
Yep.
Is that the,
yep.
Yeah, it's kind of almost like graffiti looking. Mm-hmm. Like in my eyes, it's kind of a take on a lot of the like goofy like hardcore stuff. Like hardcore will use a lot of like cartoon characters these days. So.
He's got scars.
Yeah, he's got scars and piercings.
He's a little tiny koala flipping everyone off too.
It's amazing. Yeah. The level of detail, like Sam is so great. Like that's just what we like to do. We like to collab with other like local artists and businesses. So Sam was like a no-brainer, and they also have a mural at Hive and Forge, I believe, in Salem. So check that one out.
But, cool.
Yeah. So if you ever want to collab with us on future merch designs, hit us up.
Ooh.
You artists.
Yeah. Anyone who likes to draw koalas. Koalas are the ones that all have chlamydia, right?
Oh.
Is that the...
I think so. Actually. Yeah.
And they fart a lot because the eucalyptus makes them right. Toot.
What delightful animals.
Yes.
Yeah, I, at least you guys are nice to listen to. I don't know if I'd want to hear a lot of drop bears farting. But who would you say your musical heroes within your instrument are?
Mm.
Or outside of your instrument, if a name pops into your head.
You want to go around the circle?
Yeah, let's go around.
Let's start, Rachel.
I think a lot about Chino, like just something about like a breathy fella, and just like adapting that for my own style. That's a big one. Karen O, also big influence. And I'd say those two. The sixth member of Drop Bear, by the way, is a squeaky chair.
So. Yeah. I
try. And Simpsons core.
So
I've been playing guitar since I was like 9 or 10 years old, and Nirvana was what got me into it, but also Dick Dale as well. He was a huge influence on me, which is for tremolo picking, but then like later on down the road, I got into black metal and very influenced by that. So, you know, kind of like Emperor, Dick Dale, and Nirvana have been like my key influences on playing guitar.
Interesting. Yeah. I saw I think it was probably a reel the other day, speaking of social media, saying that really the difference between surf rock and metal is a distortion.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Which is kind of cool to think about, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us are Deftones fans, so I'm going to say Chi Chang, rest in peace. Definitely a big one for me. And probably I'd go to Nirvana as well, Chris Novoselic for sure.
For this band, my influences are definitely a lot of just 90s stuff, really four on the floor basic drumming, so like Failure, Hum. And when I've been describing this record to people, I'm like, it's kind of a sweet spot between Letters to Cleo and the Deftones. Like, it's got the poppy funness of Letters to Cleo, but it has that kind of sexiness and desperation of the Deftones. So, yeah, I'll say definitely going to go with Deftones again.
Adam Franklin of Swerve Driver is my hero at the guitar. Yeah, that's all I have to say.
Yeah, that is all you have to say, I think. And so this album that you're talking about is Magic City.
Yeah.
And it came out in August.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's super fresh.
Yeah, it is.
Took a year.
Out exactly a year. Well, we were in the middle of recording it August 17th of last year. And it came out August 18th or 17th or 16th of this year, something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Are there any memories that stand out from that recording process?
Oh.
Well, it's Miami, let's so a lot back. Of our memories got wiped.
Yeah, we went to Miami. We visited Ryan Haft, who helped to record, mix, produce, did a bunch of stuff with us. He was just getting set up at his new location, and we made ourselves comfy. It was humid and definitely
like one of the worst thunderstorms I've ever been in.
Oh yeah. But to them, they're like, this is Tuesday.
Like, my friend came to visit at the Airbnb we're at, and it took her like 2 hours to get like 10 minutes down the street, basically.
No, it's
like
they're polar in Boston, opposites. But in Miami.
Exactly. Yeah.
I ate the same shrimp tacos like 5 days in a row, but they were incredible.
Yeah. Incredible food. cool bars. I mean, I don't know.
I drove both ways, so it was fun for me.
Mm-hmm. Did you bring the gear down?
I did. I did, and I had to listen to his snare the whole way.
What's funny is I only brought snare and cymbals.
Oh, that's tough.
Christian and I, our flight got canceled the day we were going to go down the day before. I'd booked a hotel at like the Miami airport, and then our flight got canceled. I got put on a flight to Puerto Rico the next day with a 12-hour layover. After like 3 hours of fighting JetBlue, we finally were like, well, let's go to Orlando and drive down. We went to Orlando. We could not get a car. We got a hotel. We hopped on a bus at 5 in the morning, which then also got canceled. We were supposed to be at the studio at like 10 a.m. We showed up at like noon with no, like 2 hours of sleep in us. We were right near a Waffle House and too tired to even go to the Waffle House.
And so TJ crushed his takes.
Yes. I don't know what witch you guys made mad for all that series of unfortunate things. I don't know.
So JetBlue, you owe me more than a $50 credit.
We sat in a bus station that looked like Mad Max for about 2 hours.
Well, there was a dude with a Kevin Costner print outfit on. That's what I remember about Florida.
Do you know the difference between a dirty bus stop and a lobster with large breasts?
What's that?
Well, one's a crusty bus station. So I really like your album art and the obi that you have printed on there. What does the Japanese say? Does it just have the...
Ooh,
just
good
the
question.
Album info, like yeah. Okay. Song yeah. titles and things like that.
Yeah, I can't read Japanese, but I kind of figured that it would probably say Magic City, Drop Bear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For guy who designed it, awesome machine, his name is Nick. Shout out to him. Thanks so much. We had so many different ideas. We're like, let's make it Japanese inspired, but also like palm trees. And also, that's a shot of me in a lake in New Hampshire. It's just a little bit of all of us put together as one, mostly just to convey escapism, I guess. Mm. That's a big theme for this album, is wishing you were somewhere else sometimes.
Yeah, we also have like other artwork that we didn't end up using. One thing I'll say about this band is we all will argue about art for like weeks on end. We all have very different tastes in just visual art. But we went with originally Liz from Vivid Bloom. I'm so sorry, Liz, I forgot the name of your company. But they're an amazing artist and did artwork that I also love. So hopefully we can throw that on a t-shirt or sticker one day. And you should also listen to Vivid Bloom because they're awesome.
And whoever picked out the font did a great job too. It's
Nick.
A super, yeah. It's Nick, just like yeah. The
Nick did our first.
Very cool.
He did.
The
EP as well.
Just turned off my laptop. Screen. Oh no!
Hopefully it's not broken. Well, we'll see if it. Whoa.
It was the same designer though, who did our first EP as well. They collabed together with a friend of ours who's a photographer. So yeah, gotcha. We have little hints and touches of all our people in our lives here and there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff.
And so it was recorded in Miami, but can you describe how and where your album should be listened to for an ideal listening experience? To set the scene.
Nighttime.
Sit on my porch a lot, chilling. It's pretty good out there.
Mm-hmm. You know, preferably near some neon lights, but, you know, that's not necessary. If you're driving at night, you got all the street lights and traffic lights. So, yeah, that's where I think...
Yeah, like a warm tropical rain almost with the lights reflecting off the pavement and you don't see that old girl crossing the street and just plow right over him because you're blasting Magic City, you know? Now, I really enjoyed, like, when I first heard the final mixes, I was like, all right, this is a windows down driving record and, like, I think I'd posted a picture of my dog hanging its head out the window with the wind blasting in his face and I was like... this is how you listen to Magic City. Like, this is how I feel when I listen to it.
I feel like when it's like at the cusp of the sunset where there's some light but it's getting dark.
Oh, yes. Twilight.
Yes.
You get that.
Where the trees look like silhouettes at that point.
Yeah, you get that like pink sky.
Yes.
The Thomas Kincaid painting sky.
You reminded me that I need to read a PSA. So, distracted driving is a dangerous epidemic on America's roadways. Stay safe behind the wheel. Visit stoptextsstopwrecks.org and learn more.
Beep, beep.
And while you're not texting in your car, you should listen to Magic City.
Yeah.
There we
yeah.
go. Yeah.
Streaming on pretty much anywhere, like yep. Tidal. I know like two people have Tidal. Apple, Spotify, mm-hmm. all the places that want to take our money. Mm-hmm. And it's Bandcamp Friday this Friday, too, so mm-hmm. we can get almost 100% of the... What are we charging for? I don't know.
But do it. Invest, because we would want to print vinyl.
10 bucks. So. Come on, 10 bucks.
Yeah, give us some...
Yeah, we want money so we can print it on vinyl, because the artwork is so pretty.
Yeah.
And you could even put a real Obi on it.
Yes.
Yes.
That might
yeah.
yes.
too that much, actually. Yeah,
I mean, it's just, I'm sure you could do it. So it's just, like, it's just
make,
a little piece
make
of paper,
one ourselves.
You know?
Yeah, we could probably yeah. find something.
Yeah, I'm sure that it's got to be cheaper than the, I hope that it would be cheaper than the actual jacket itself.
Yeah.
yeah. If your band was a type of sandwich, what would be in it?
Let's argue. No.
Yes, go
I
for
mean,
it.
It's a Dagwood.
I don't know. I'm thinking Vegemite since it's a drop bear.
Oh, there you go.
See, I was thinking Cubano because of Magic City.
Ooh. Why not combine them both?
Ooh.
I think that could work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Vegemite, personally.
I've never had it, and when someone's offered it to me, my response was, no.
No. No, thank you.
No.
Yeah, let's go with that monster dish. That's us. Vegemite Cubano.
You know, I really do think that could work. I'll try it sometime and get back to you
yeah,
guys.
Please.
That's nice
yeah.
of you.
You know, I actually don't have Vegemite. I have Marmite, but it's close enough.
Mm. What's the difference? I want a lesson while we're getting interviewed on Australian food culture.
The main difference is that, well, there are two different kinds of Marmite. One's the one that's popular in England, and one's the one that's popular in New Zealand.
Okay.
And the difference is just the tang between Marmite and Vegemite is slightly different.
Mm.
But they're both like waste products from making beer.
Oh,
at the end of the day. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Super salty, black, yeah. tarry. Yeah.
Bach.
Yeah.
That was not an Australian accent.
Yeah, I always
accents
have trouble
are hard.
Being an Australian accent. I have to watch like a lot of Summer Heights High, and then I'm.
I love that show.
It's great.
So good.
Yeah. If or what would you say is the best advice that you've ever been given?
Oh,
yeah. You know what? An ex-girlfriend's father, who I did not like him. He was like super, super right-wing bonkers. But he actually said to me one time, like, he saw me getting grumpy in traffic, and he was like, hey, man, you know what helps is just, like, not getting mad at things that you can't control. I'm like, oh, you know what?
That's great advice.
That is
very
really
yogic.
Good advice. But I don't know. Now I get mad in traffic again. But I think of that every now and then when I'm, like, mad at work or something. And I'm like, I can't do anything about this, so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
That's just me, personally.
That's sweet.
It's a good one. You know, it's important to remember that. All right, do you have a favorite gig that you guys have played together?
Ooh.
Back to music, away from the weird questions.
I've only done, like, two shows. Well, with me in the lineup, only two shows.
Yeah. I think our... The best sounding show we've played was the Sinclair.
Yeah.
Mm. Insane turnout for that show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember like looking up tuning and I was like, whoa. yeah, that was my favorite.
Yeah, that's probably mine as well.
Yeah, I liked that show because all of my friends' bands were on that show. Mm. So Astral B, Sapling, and my old band, Walter Sickert, and the Army of Broken Toys were on it. And Joel over there was doing sound for some of it, and I don't know. We're just so used to playing like O'Brien's and Charlie's Kitchen and little places like that. We mm-hmm. actually had a good monitor mix at that show and mm-hmm. pretty Wallace. Lights. And yeah, there were like already, I think I was told there were already like 250 in the door when we started playing, which yeah. is like rare for an opening band at the Sinclair. So
yeah, the floor was packed for us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
yeah.
So I liked the Middle East show we just played, though.
That was pretty good, too.
That was fun.
The vibes were immaculate. Zip-tie handcuffs, I'd never seen them before, but people were dancing, and I was like, I get it. Like, yeah, worshiper, excellent. Just really fun night.
Known some of the worshiper guys for years, so it was, again, awesome to hang with homies. And it was my birthday that night, too, so I got a little too inebriated. but
just the right amount.
And I, yeah. No, because I kind of train wrecked a song. But
I think that's the interesting thing about Magic City and our new music is that we have, like, I don't know, different vibes for each track. So we fit in with a lot of different bands kind of, I don't know, like in compartmentalized ways. So we like to play with different genres like Zip Tie or Astral B or, you know. Other folks.
I know. I would love to be one of those, the token shoegaze band on the hardcore set, because I just love hardcore shows.
And, come on.
But we're also old heads, quote unquote, at this point, so who knows if we'll ever be cool enough for the triple B crowd, you know?
You know, the music fits in, and that's what's important.
Yeah.
You know? What's your process like when you're writing songs, and where do those different vibes get incorporated?
Mm. I'll take this one. So they typically start with an idea. More recently, I've been honing in to, you know, excruciating detail on ideas. And technology has been great. So we use this platform called Samply. We upload an idea. People can like drive to work, listen to it. It's not like a voice memo they have to like go search for. It plays continuously. So it's a great tool for songwriting and collaborating with everyone in the band. And once I get some structure down for some parts, I'll show it after at a practice, you know, after we run through a set. If we have the energy to work on some stuff, then we plug away at it.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, it sounds like you've got it figured out. It's a nice system. It's great having apps when they're handy, you know?
Yes.
Mm. When they actually work and add to a process instead of making it more complicated.
From a lyricist perspective, I kind of like the challenge sometimes. Like, one of these guys will have like a placeholder title of a song, and it'll just be like, I don't know, a random phrase or whatever. And either I'll back in a story into that. Like, The Mess You Leave Behind was Matt's placeholder title that stuck. And we, you know, collab to make a story around it. Otherwise, I'll listen to these samples that they're passing. I'll listen, hear a vibe. It took a year for Newcastle Beach for me to lyrically get together, but the morose kind of sad song, you know, way that it had, it sounded like ocean vibes. So I wrote a song that kind of mirrored that a little bit. So yeah, it depends on a feeling. It depends on a challenge or a phrase or messing around. But
I'll also say songwriting together has been kind of choppy over the years, because it's like pretty much right when I joined. I don't know if you had joined yet, Christian, but like COVID happened.
Yeah,
like
lockdown. Right away. Immediately.
Like right after like two practices. And then I think like I needed shoulder surgery like right after COVID. And then I broke my leg at one point.
Oh, yeah.
And how many practice spaces have we lost already? Like three or four? Like, so it's been a little bit choppy. Like, we're already sick of playing the Magic City songs, because it's been forever, and we're like kind of trying to write, but then we'll accept a show and be like, oh, we should practice for the show. But yeah, so we've had a bit of bad luck, so hopefully this next record we can write a little more, because I think some of the songs, like While My Leg Was Broken, Dino like programmed beats, and I was like,
yeah,
I was stoked about that. I wasn't like mad about that by any means. I'm like, cool, they're being productive while my leg's broken. Yay.
We had already built up a lot of momentum, and we had, so, you know, we booked the studio time, you know, back in 2023, in the like late fall, early summer or early winter.
And then, like, all these, you know, unfortunate things started happening to the band. We had already had some momentum. We had, like, maybe three songs good to go. We were shooting for a target of, I think, that upper target of 12. I think we settled for 8. There's actually one song that didn't make the record. So, you know, keep your ears out for that. So that's exciting. But, yeah. Totally lost my train of thought here.
We collab.
Yeah, we collab. Just to circle back about The Mess and song titles. So The Mess in COVID, The Mess You Leave Behind was a soap opera on Netflix, a Spanish soap opera, really over the top, subtitles, really weird, convoluted story. But I drew a lot of inspiration from it for some reason. It was shot really nice. I'm a sucker for great camera work and lighting and colors. And so it just like, I picked up my guitar during like an episode and came up with like the main riff. And yeah.
That's really cool. You know, it's, do you remember what the episode was?
No.
But that's the title.
No.
Yeah.
It is crazy when like you can just get influenced by like weird things sometimes. Like, I don't know, man. Like, sometimes, like, there's been times I was just, like, driving through California, and I'm just like, oh, wow, this, like, plant life in the desert is cool. And it just, like, I think of, like, a Caius type riff or something all of a sudden,
yeah,
you know? Like,
totally. Yeah, that's how Mono are here. I read a Mono interview, Japanese Mono, and on tour, they look outside their tour bus, and, like, how a light hits a branch or something like that will inspire, like, a chord, a progression. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that's pretty cool.
I like that abstract stuff. I think it's fun. We're all vibes here.
All vibes. All the way up. What song or artist would listeners be surprised to know that you listen to? Or perhaps a guilty pleasure artist.
I don't see. For me, I don't think I'm not guilty of any of them.
No,
so
yeah. I mean,
I listen to a lot of Hector Lavoie. Hmm. I love salsa. So like, I grew up in JP. I don't know. I play baseball. There's just like a sort of Latin element to me. And yeah, I play a lot of salsa.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
I mean, it's... you can't see us right now, but I mean, Christian's wearing an Obituary shirt. You know, Sean's wearing a Duran Duran shirt. Like, he was talking about Dungeon Synth and Black Metal earlier. Like, you know, me and Christian met each other through the hardcore scene back in the day. So it's like, yeah, our music's a little like... happy and silly. Like, I've seen Rachel open up a pit for Angel Dust. I saw Christian open up a pit for High Viz the other night. Like, I broke my leg in a pit.
I was mean, by the way.
You had a leather jacket on, too. It looked so cool.
It was jean, but it looked hard.
Oh, okay. The only thing that would have made you cooler was, like, it was, like, raining and you had a cigarette in
your mouth. It's got a butt in the mouth.
But yeah, I mean, we all listen to, I think at this point, too, this age, like, everybody listens to different stuff with the internet, too. Like, I remember being younger, like, the metal kids didn't blend with the punk, you know, but now you get, like Dying Fetus played, like, a hardcore fest in Florida.
Well, yeah. I mean, Dying Fetus played with hardcore bands a bunch back in the day. I saw them with Alt War and 100 Demons, like, a bunch of times.
And I mean, you can remember seeing, like, Dead Kennedy stickers on like Cannibal Corpse guitars, you know, but like,
I mean, it was always there, but it was just in the crowd. It was a different story every time. Like a punk and metal kids. Yeah. They definitely didn't get along most of the time, depending on who played. I mean, if it was like Nausea and Toxic Narcotic, then yeah, they would blend, or Phobia and Pinkerton Thug or something like that. Yeah. It would blend. But like, if you had, Madball play with, that actually would work because they did play before. Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think there's anything we could surprise anyone with.
Here's one. I saw Dying Fetus in the Year of Our Lord open, and that did not mesh well at all. That did not mesh well. That show was crazy. Cephalic Carnage played, Vader played, and what was the other band that played that show? Deeds of Flesh. It was like their first like mass show.
So as you can see, yeah, we're all over the place.
Yeah, I've bounced around all different genres. I mean, at one point in time, I was in, like, probably the most ignorant hardcore band to ever come out of, like, the South Shore. And,
I listen to so much hardcore and punk, but I also love hip-hop and rap and pretty much anything.
Oh, yeah.
I can't decide which one I like more most days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, MF Doom is, like, one of my biggest influence musically. Like, even though not guitar playing, but he's just a poet. Mm-hmm. Guy's lyrical genius.
For sure, for sure.
And, like, the Mad Villain record is, like, my favorite rap album of all time. I mean, Madlib just kills it.
Mm-hmm. I like Atmosphere.
Plus, like, yeah, Atmosphere is great. And, like, Yesterday's New Quintet, which is, like, a soul group kind of, they do, like, the backing on that album. It's just magnificent. It's, like, reminiscent to Jizza's Liquid Swords. They have, like, a band play on that, and he's played with, like, that band live, and I would love to see that. That would have been incredible. You saw that, right, TJ?
I did, kind of from afar, yeah. Well, they didn't sneak in. I just watched it from over a fence a couple weeks ago.
Dude, when I saw him do that album, he just played the album and rapped over it. It was not the same experience.
There was Tufts has a spring music festival for the students. When I was a freshman here, they had a bunch of producers and like a rapper, but they all played the same encore song because they were all, it was like one of those rap songs. It was, do you remember Mask Off?
Yeah.
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 Apparently we had like three different people who helped produce it because they all use it as their encore. And at a certain, it was just like, huh?
A Future song? Was he there?
No.
No?
No. Oh, not God. Future. Just like, I don't know, a bunch of people who like added a beat, a boop, you know? Yeah.
See, I went to the University of New Hampshire for my undergrad. I went to BU for grad school. But we had Muso, and we would put on these crazy indie shows. Like, I saw the Mountain Goats. Like, we brought him, Darnell, which is excellent. And then, meanwhile, we had, like, other big, like, key stars. Like, Ludacris played Durham, New Hampshire. And it was insane.
That would be fun.
It was, like, unhinged. And then MGMT was, like, a month later. It was a very good year.
We had, let's see, I think that a couple of things that might have been highlights if the venue was better, but this was in, like, the gym, and the acoustics were so bad. 303.
Oh.
That was fun, even though the acoustics were horrible. And the other one was Waka Flocka Flame.
There used to be hardcore shows here at Tufts, like, in a classroom.
Oh yeah. Right at the top of the hill in the crane.
Yeah, I remember I saw like mile marker there once.
Wait, are you talking about X House?
No, it was like a classroom.
That was not
like,
too far from here though.
It was literally in the school.
Yeah. So WMFO still throws shows there, but they're students only at this point. Okay. Yes, I think that's something that I think that it wasn't strictly students only before COVID, but since COVID, it's been really...
Gotcha.
Yeah. UNH ended up doing that, too. We had Converge play, and, like, randos were coming, and they're like, shut it down. Well,
Mass Art used to have shows back in the day, too.
Mm-hmm.
They still do. Somebody played there recently. Dude. I was shocked to see it.
I saw AC there before.
Oh, man.
That was the craziest show, and I wish I got a picture of Seth Putnam hitting this kid with a chair and strangling his mic. I got pictures of that show, but I missed out on that one. I wish I got that picture.
It's great.
Yeah. I mean, the Boston scene has changed a lot, and I think that it's changed a lot in a good way since COVID. I think that, I mean, well, obviously COVID was definitely a low point for the Boston music scene, for all music scenes.
It's definitely a rebirth, but I don't... It's weird to me.
Well, we definitely lack the venues. That's the thing.
Yeah. I feel like that's coming back, though. Slowly.
Yeah, like Great Scott's coming back. Deep Cuts, like, opened during COVID, but they were just, like, a small... I don't even think there were seats inside or anything, and they, like, did so well over COVID that they ended up moving to a big spot and having a venue.
Yeah, that place is great. I'm actually looking forward to playing there.
I feel like there's a larger conversation to have, though, about this that you bring up. Like, have you noticed that, like, touring bands just skip Boston?
Yes. Sometimes.
No, I mean,
I've been seeing this a lot.
Well, it's
I think at that mid-level, for sure. Like, not huge bands. But
well, it's kind of tough, because, like, some bands try to come through here, and there's not a place to play, because there's not enough venues. Yeah. So they'll play Providence, or they'll play New Hampshire, or they'll play Portland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't think the city's planners were very forward thinking about that aspect of.
I don't think Boston was planned.
Yeah. Definitely yeah. not. But
yeah. Well, I mean, they got rid of most of the venues here, man. I don't think they really care.
They just opened it up to, you know, even with our practice space that we just lost. It just came out that the biotech firm that purchased the sound museum actually has to sit on the building now. And so we got kicked out for mm-hmm. no reason. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A lot of street right. parking.
We had gear yeah. stolen yep. during that move.
A hole through the wall. Someone just yeah. punched it. Smashed grabbed right your gear through the hole.
So, you know, like there's artists are really affected by a lot of this stuff.
I'm also sure like rents in that neighborhood probably skyrocketed once that giant development was announced. Like
as always.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's tough. I think that the one bright side sort of is that there's just seeing the DIY scene come back is nice. Mm-hmm. But even that is not
what it was.
Or what it could be. Yeah. A different scene.
When I was like younger, we used to have this site that would go on called justanotherscene.com and yes. it was crazy because yes. every weekend something you had yeah, something different. And, yes. like, it'd be, like, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You had over, like, a dozen different venues in Boston alone.
Yep.
And it would cover
ICC every... Church.
Yeah. That place.
Houses.
Causeway. Yeah. Like, all these venues are no longer around.
I remember from, like, Saturday in my, like, early 20s. Like, Saturday from, like, 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. until, like, who knows, 6 in the morning. There was, like, 5 different basement shows.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Kids who grew up in Boston who go into college and are going to Alston these days have no idea.
Yeah.
What it was like.
Yeah. Different.
I was lucky enough to go to the Rat when I was really young just because I was, you know, not a smart kid and just ran around places I shouldn't be. But, you know, we had Karma Club.
Karma Club was awesome.
Even the clubs on Lansdowne, the Axis.
Yeah. Yeah. Axis, yeah. Avalon, yeah. Bill's Bar. Karma Club was also, yeah.
R.I.P. Boston.
Yeah.
Well.
Remember the Kinderia show, Matrix?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that
the
too.
Matrix.
Yeah.
I love that. I went to a Kinderia show after senior year of high school. Just some random day. Imagine doing that. You can't do that.
I used to go to shows in an old abandoned whoopie pie factory.
For real, like a good handful.
It was like a month where it was like, yo, whoopie pie factory. Someone just broke into it.
But, I remember like back
there was
in
a
the
whoopie
day.
Pie on top of the building, literally.
Oh, I also remember like South End, like before it got like developed and everything, there was a bunch of warehouses that used to have like raves and shows. I mean, the last time I went there, I saw this band called White Horse. Yeah. From Australia, and The Body, and it was awesome. They plan on more stuff, but then the building got bought and is now a high-rise luxury condo.
Do you guys ever go to the Mills in Lawrence? I saw American Nightmare's first show in that mill. Wow. There was a giant hole in the wall, like off the side of the building that you could just like you're up like 8 floors, you just pee off the side of it.
Did you ever play Fat Cat back in the day?
No.
Oh, God.
Like in Quincy?
No,
in Springfield.
It was like the restaurant?
I've been to plenty of shows. I never played it.
Well,
that place was interesting.
We have lots of memories, but if folks are out there and they're trying to change things again for a DIY scene, please hit us up because we are curious about it.
I also just love playing basement shows. Yeah. They're so lawless and fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. I just think people are too in their heads, like... Just go exist, have fun, take a vid, sure. But, like, just, I don't know, throw back to, you know, like, the grungy days. What's coming back in fashion? It's like the Tumblr days.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, you know, I think a lot of the people, a lot of that's always run by the college scene.
Yeah.
And after COVID, you know, you had a whole... it's weird to call it a generation, but, you know, like, that whole class, mm-hmm. those classes... left, and there was a lot of gaps that are sure. slowly getting filled. There are church shows happening again.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, there are all kinds of little things that are popping up, but it takes time for it to build back.
Yeah.
And I personally have a lot of hope for the Boston scene. Is there anything that you've seen recently that gives you hope for the Boston scene?
There's actually this new band called Cripple and Alcoholism. They're absolutely brilliant. Like, my opinion, they're probably one of the best new bands to come out of Boston right now. And, like, they're starting to play out a lot, and they're getting a lot of hype. And I've been noticing, like, even newer venues that have been popping up have, like, been snatching them up. So, and they're all really young. So I think they kind of are, like, helping bring, like, Weird back to, like, the scene, because they don't sound like anybody else out right now. It's, they're absolutely amazing.
I've also just been seeing a lot of bookers that have been on the lookout for places that they could put shows on. And so, I mean, some of them last like two shows, but it's cool that there are people that are passionate enough that are still like just trying to be creative and be like, oh, I wonder if the basement in this bar will let us do something. Yeah. Or
That's been that happened in Weymouth recently.
There's a spot in
bottom of a restaurant in Weymouth. But yeah. They've been starting to do a lot of shows lately.
And there's a spot in like Brookline doing that right now.
There's a place in Plymouth too.
Not the Sons of Italy, no.
There's a new place in Plymouth that's about to do a show, I found out.
Yeah, and like VFW halls are getting booked again. I've noticed like Peabody and has been having more hardcore shows.
Yeah, my friend Bill has been like involved in all that.
Yeah, and there's a spot in, there's like a one of the movie theaters in the Capitol Theater in Arlington has been doing shows.
Really?
So, yeah, I think that's cool that people are, like, you know, bookers are finding unique places to do things.
We just played Moon over Salem, so shout out to the bookers with Moon North Shore. That felt really good to see Salem have so many different little spots where simultaneously and, like, separately bands were playing, like in Cinema 6. We did the Y. Kodo is a gas. Food's really good.
I guess Kodo just opened a location in Lowell, too, so, like, and they're going to be having shows, so that's awesome.
Yeah. So if you live here and you're going to school here, carpool, get a zip car, like, just try to explore a little bit. That's my advice.
Yeah, even outside of Boston, I mean, there's places in Worcester, South Shore, North Shore, Western Mass, New Hampshire, Maine, Rhode Island. Yeah.
Thirsty First in Lowell, which used to be Uncharted. We're playing there in a couple of weeks. That place is really cool, too.
Yes, that place is awesome. Yeah, it was Uncharted before. Friday the 11th with One Fall.
That place was fun. Nice. I like playing there. Yeah.
I mean, also something cool I've been seeing in Boston, too. I mean, this is happening, like, worldwide, which is wild to see, but just sort of the comeback of hardcore. It's like you're seeing shows that will be like 8 band bills and the venue is just packed front to back before the first band even goes on. So like props to like the kids that are coming out for the openers, even just to discover new music and things like that. So it's another positive thing I've been seeing.
Yeah.
The kids are doing all right.
Well, it's also been great to see like the younger generation, older generation get together. Like my friend Bill in Psychic Wait, like he's been collabing with like younger kids and like getting together and like adding like both bands to shows.
Or I saw Terror open for Drain recently. You know? And it's like, oh, you have like some OGs with some kids, dude. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, it is heartening to see some of that stuff. And as we're coming up on the top of the hour, do you guys have any closing remarks or final words of wisdom?
Yeah. We mentioned earlier that we are writing again. So catch us while you can. Because we'll probably be, you know, writing some new stuff and
hibernating
and not playing and carrying gear up flights of stairs. So.
Yeah. I also just don't like going outside for 6 months out of the year this time of year. So
I have kids. They'd like to see me every once in a while. I'm just kidding. See them all the time.
I have my own music project that I'm wrapping up right now, and then when that's done, I can like focus with Matt here to like write our own stuff together. But I have like my own personal project called Prisoner Cinema. It's a misanthropic ambient black metal for those who want to check it out, if that's up your alley.
Cool.
But I've been focusing on that a lot because me and Matt, like, I just joined this band, so once this is finished and we get together, we're gonna definitely pump out some new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I just want to take a second to thank you all, or you know, at the radio station here for giving us a shot. And also I want to thank the guys. I'm really obviously having a great time doing this. The music we're producing are lately are things that I'm really proud of. So thanks, Drop Bear.
Yeah, we love you.
I think we really have fun, and that's like probably the biggest thing that comes out musically, is that we enjoy doing it together.
Yeah, so watch us evolve.
Good vibes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very important.
I'm also in another band called Pretty Out. We just put out our debut record. You can catch us live at O'Brien's in November, November 3rd. So come through. It's lit.
And are there any other groups that you all are in that you want to shout out, or just groups that you aren't in that you want to shout out?
I'm still, I think, in a band called Martyrs. We just haven't been very active recently, but if you just look up Martyrs Boston, you can find our band camp. And even though I'm not actively playing in the band anymore, I still kick it with the Walter Sigurd and the Army of Broken Toys crew. So props to them. And now over to Christian.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty much solo. I may have like a surf punk side project with actually Rachel Hudgman. So
yeah.
We're writing some stuff, having some fun. Nothing there yet. We'll let you know.
Cool. Yeah, please do. Nothing for you?
Yeah. I mean, I could plug my yoga. If y'all are into lifted yoga, check me out. I'm Balsamic Moon Yoga. I also do playlists for non like singing bowl related stuff. So one of my friends did a Drop Bear themed vinyasa class that was virtual. So she took our full length and designed a workout to that. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. Cool. It was perfect. So yeah, I do yoga on the side and Drop Bear, and I have two chihuahuas that are crazy.
So life. Who needs another band when you have two chihuahuas that are crazy?
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. They disrespect their surroundings every day.
Fantastic. Well, I'm Mellow Max. I've been here with Drop Bear. You can find them on Instagram at Drop Bear Band and on Bandcamp as Drop Bear Boston. I see why that's confusing now.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. And because you just mentioned your other band, let's listen to a track from Pretty Out.
Hell yeah.
All right. Sweet. Here's Swirling. Life in chains of grace.
You're listening to WMFO in Medford. Thanks for tuning in for On the Town tonight. I'm Mellow Max. You can find me on Instagram at Mellow Max Radio. It's been a blast. Great night. You're listening to On They Behind Me.